Heavenly Father, this is the holy book. This is the Bible, the Word of God, and we thank you for it. We couldn't have this, Lord, if you had not inspired it and preserved it for us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for moving the hearts of translators that have translated it into so many languages in our world. And it's just such a blessing to grow up speaking a language that the Bible is written in, to be able to read for ourselves the words of Scripture, the words of God. Such an unusual book. For it to be so wonderfully inspired, it has a breath, it has a life of its own, and it speaks to us, Lord, and you touch our hearts, and you correct us, and you draw us, and you change us through what is written in your word, and we thank you for that. Now we're praying this evening that the things we consider will be simple things, things that people can understand, they can grasp and take home with them. We pray that you'll enlarge our understanding of Scripture and help us, Lord, to love it, to embrace it, to engraft it. And we ask you these things now in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. In the first chapter, follow with me as we read from verse 10 down to 19. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs 1, verse 11. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Of course, that's the appeal of sinners to the Son. The Father is addressing, but then look in verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. And then turn with me to the second chapter, just over the page probably, chapter 2, verse number 10, down to 22. Again, the father is speaking to his son. You see that in the first verse, my son. And so the advice continues here in verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, and then take note of this, to deliver thee from the way of the evil men, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Then here's a similar verse to number 12 in verse 16, similar to verse 12, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. And then look in chapter 4. We're going to look at another passage here, and then we'll talk about these three, gather them up in one basket and talk about these three. In verse 1, chapter 4 in Proverbs, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, giving advice to his children. And then skip down with me to verses 14 to 19, because part of the advice he gives is here, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. Now, look up this way just a little bit. Let me talk to you about what's happening here. And we only picked out three examples, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 4. And we can multiply that by many examples. But what we have here is a father, and the mother is involved in this as well. She backs up what the father is teaching. And the father is saying to his son, in another passage he says to his children, so it may be daughters as well, he's saying to them, I want to teach you how to tell who to hang around with and who to avoid, who to fit in with and who to walk away from. Now, all of you parents that are here tonight saying, I agree, that's what we need to teach our children. Every one of you parents that's here tonight and grandparents, your heart would be terribly grieved and burdened to see one of your children or your grandchildren in bad company that was going to lead them into a life of crime. You wouldn't want that to happen. So the book of Proverbs lays out for us the way a father speaks to his children. Can I encourage you? Can I urge you to do that? Speak to your children. Now, some of us are going to say, I still don't know fully what to tell them. I still don't know altogether how to instruct them regarding who they hang out with, who they befriend, who they get close together with, and who they step away from. It is difficult, isn't it? If you're a parent, you're probably saying, I find this difficult to do. Well, I'm going to move the pulpit back here. I want to see if I can get four of our young fellows to come up and help me. I want to get Callum and Sim and Aiden and Will. Did you do that? We've already worked Elijah to pieces over here. So if you guys would stand up here, just side by side, and I want to give you something to hold. And I want you to keep these in the order they are in. So Callum has got carrots on the front of his. And Aiden has got his favorite health food on the front of his. And Will has his favorite children's food. And Simeon has the forbidden food that his mother will not let him eat. And we want... You made ice cream last night. You did too. Okay, I apologize. I've got to apologize and be right with you all. All right. Now, all the boys and girls that are under 12. Oh, how many boys and girls do we have that are younger than 12? Hold your hand up if you're younger than 12. Do you think you could squash on this front seat here? How many boys and girls can we get to squash on this front seat right here? I'll let you go back and sit in your chair in just a minute, okay? If you're younger than 12, would you help me? Okay, because we're going to vote. And by voting, we're going to hold up our hand. Okay, you know how to hold your hand up? Let's practice. Good, good, good. You know how to hold your hand up? That's not high enough. Okay, come on, Isaiah. Is there any other people who are younger than 12 that want to help us? Okay, this is good. We've got 2, 4, 6, 7. That's good. All right. Now, get ready to hold your hand up because I'm going to tell you tonight that these fellas, we're going to pretend that they have a bowl of this in front of them. And there's a spoon in it, and you can go and get a spoonful. We're pretending, okay? So how many of you would like to go and get a spoonful of carrots? Hold your hand up if you would like to go get a spoonful of carrots. Hold your hand up if you want a spoonful of carrots. Anybody? Poor Callum. Farm boy. Okay. It might be two. All right. Hands down now. How many of you would like to go and get a spoonful of ice cream? Wow, look at these self-controlled kids. Oh, Matthew is the only one. Dad, he deserves a reward. Okay, how many of you would like to go and get from Uncle Will a spoonful of baby food? Okay, all right, hands down. Okay, how many of you would like to go and eat out of Aiden's favorite vegetable bowl? You'd like some pumpkin. Who would like pumpkin? Oh, several people do. Okay, now, I want to talk to you about this because what we're doing with this is we're talking about children's desires. Children tend to work a lot, mostly, completely, a bit, mostly, all right, on the basis of desires. And what they have a desire for, they really like a lot. And if they don't like something, if I had to put spinach here, or maybe put, what's that, broccoli. Who likes broccoli? That's amazing. What about cauliflower? Do you like cauliflower? Brussels sprouts. Who likes Brussels sprouts? Okay. What we're talking about, I'm going to use this big word, we're talking about what we have a preference for, what we like, okay? And we're really trying to get down to understanding what it means to identify with something. That's a word we don't use much, okay? Okay, put the first page in the back and put the second page first if you can figure that out. Now we're going to let you go sit down. And we're going to see if there's any guys about David's age. Let's see, and girls can come too, and you can have the first couple of rows. Abby will make room for you. You can go sit down with Mom and Dad. Can we have some people that are 14, 15, 16 years old? The guys can sit on the floor if they have to and let the girls have the nice chair. Okay. Anybody else? Cassia? Faith? You want to come and sit up here too? All right, this is good. Now we're getting somewhere. Okay. Now we're going to see how many of you really relate. And that if you're looking at a career, you're looking at where am I going when I finish school, how many of you would like to be a school teacher? Hold your hand up. Brother Floyd, you're going to have to do some recruiting down here. Okay. How many of you guys and girls sitting here would like to be a truck driver? Hold your hand up if you'd like to be a truck driver. Two girls. Paris takes after her mom. Okay. How many of you guys would like to be a pastor? Hold your hand up if you would like to be a pastor. I know why you don't want to be one, because you look at the one you've got and you say, I don't want to be like him. Okay. How many of you girls and guys would like to be jet pilot? All right. Now stop and think about this again, because what we're doing when we get to this age, some of it has to do with thinking and some of it has to do with desires. And there's a bit of a mix. And that's where we're moving out of childish little boy, little girl things, and we're moving into adult things. But sometimes guys still like to go and play with guns. And girls still like to play with dolls and teddy bears. But then they think about, I want to be a jet pilot because they make a lot of money. And so, but stay here. I don't want you to go away because I got another one for you. Okay, change over to the next one. Okay. Now, because when we think about activities, first of all, we talk about food, then we talked about careers, then we talk about activities. What sort of activities do we like? How many of you, if you had an hour free, would say, hey, I've got to catch up on my Bible reading and pray. I haven't been able to do that today. I need to do that. Let me hold up your hand. Good. Did you notice that's all girls except Miles? Okay. Okay. You just made a lot of friends out of the girls' mouths there. All right, hold this up high where everybody can see it. All right, how many of you would say, oh, man, this is time to catch up on video games. I haven't played video games in 3.5 minutes. Hands up. Be honest now. Hands up. Okay, all right. How many of you would say, oh, got the night free? Watch movies all night. How many would fit with that? Be honest now. Summer, you and Jonah and Josh are the only honest people in the whole group. Okay, Saturday morning. Did you see Jonah put both feet and both hands up? Did you see that? Okay, you guys can go. Thank you for helping. Because when we get to these teenage years, we tend to identify with activities like this, and we're thinking and we're identifying and fun's a lot of fun, and then we get to the grown-ups. And let's take this next one, okay? Because as we get, you know, really elderly, you know, probably about 25, you know, really getting up in years, like maybe 26 or 27 or 28, like Aiden, that we start thinking about what's really important. And we begin thinking about, I don't really need an airsoft gun or a gel capsule gun or something like that. I need to be thinking about what kind of Bible I'm going to read. And I hope you do think about that. Make your own choices seriously. Think seriously about this. So how many of you, if you had a choice, you could buy any kind of Bible you wanted, would buy a King James Bible? That's a lot out. Let's just have the adults vote, okay? You've got to be older than this lot that was here, okay? All right? How many of you would buy a Living Bible? I'm going to say, I don't know what that is. Or the Cotton Patch Bible. Now, most of you have never heard of that, but there was a Bible printed back in the 1960s called the Cotton Patch Bible. I saw one in a Christian bookshop, picked it up out of curiosity and started reading it, and it had swear words in it because it was supposed to be a Bible written like people talked in the cotton fields down in Georgia. And I said to the owner of the bookshop, I said, you know what this got in it? He said, no, a minister here in town asked us to get some in for his church. I said, well, have a look at this page. And I showed him, and he said, he took it off the shelf. Let me read you a little piece out of it. It doesn't have any swear words in this piece right here. I promise. Here's what it said in the passage where it talked about new wine and old bottles. You remember that? Wineskins. Here's what it said. Their translation is, nor do people put new tubes in old bald tires. If they do, the tires will blow out and the tubes will be ruined and the tires will be torn up. But they put new tubes in new tires and both give good mileage. That's pretty bad, isn't it, Liz? I'll show you the rest of them. So now you're going to say, I never heard of that before and I'll never hear of it again. That's right. But it points out to us that we need to read carefully and think carefully about what kind of Bible we're going to use. The NIV Bible has 5,000 alterations that are different from the Bible we use. 5,000. It's equal to, I believe it is, the book of 1 Peter changed. So, adults, we've already voted on this, that most of you prefer, most of you relate to this. You identify with the King James Bible. Pull again. Turn the page again. This is still for the grown-ups, mostly. We might let the teenagers in on this. Do you relate to the Roman Catholic Church? Or do you identify with the Jehovah's Witnesses? Or do you identify with Baptists? Or with Mormonism? Which do you identify with? Because we, all of us, make choices. We say, I fit here, I don't fit over there. This is where I belong. I agree with this, but I don't agree with that. And we are all doing that every day. And that's what we call identifying. I identify with this. And then we want to take the last one. I think there's one more. Because as we get really old, you know, somewhere older than Brother Floyd, we get really, really, really old. We begin to think about values and philosophies and concepts and ideas. Hold them up where people can see because some may not be able to see. Okay? Wow. Okay? Can you guys see? I'll move out of the road. How many of you identify with this and over here and you say, what? I didn't ever heard of that before. What does this mean? Who can tell me what this means? You know what it means? Somebody will know. Joe? Total pursuit of pleasure. If it's not fun, I don't want to do it. Why would anyone ever want to do anything that wasn't fun? It has to be fun. 24/7, 25/8, I don't care how much. It's just got to be total fun. Everything's got to be fun. What is atheism? What is that? There is no belief in God or the denial of God's existence. What about compromise? Compromise said, maybe I can have a little bit of this and a little bit of this and a little bit of this, and we'll just all sort of mix it up and we'll make an Irish stew out of it, and It'll just all be really nice. I heard a fellow say one time, he said, on the farm we used to do that. We used to take some leftover beans and some leftover corn and some leftover porridge and some leftover this and leftover that. And we'd put it in a pot and we'd stir it up and feed it to the pigs, and it was called pig slop. That's why it was called. Well, that's what compromise does. It mixes up all of these. But I hope that inside of you, you are saying, what I really identify with is God's Word and God's values and God's standards. When we talk about God's moral laws, we're talking about this. This is what we call, what's often called among Christians, the moral law. It has to do with rights and wrongs. And the older we get, the more we need to see clearly, this is right and that is wrong, and I don't want to go there, I'm going to go here. This is a little bit shady and I'm not sure about it, so I'm going to step over and look at it again. But I'm going to step to the good side of things to look at it, because it may be something that will be harmful. It's just quite deceptive. But we need to identify with God's Word, with God's moral law. Okay, fellas, you've been a great help. Now I'm going to ask a couple of you to stay available, because I'm going to need you to stand up again in a minute. You can put those over here. Just stack them one on top of the other. Okay? Because what I want to do next is I want to talk to you about Ahab and Jehoshaphat. And we might open our Bibles to this first passage of Scripture. I want to show you this, and then we're going to get a couple of fellows to hold up. Look in 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. There are two phrases that we need to become very familiar with. And one of the phrases is a phrase that indicates that I identify with this or that or the other. And it is this phrase right here, I am as thou art. Okay? I am as thou art. So I want you to look with me, please, here in 1 Kings chapter 22, because we have two kings here. In 1 Kings chapter 22, it tells us in verse 3, and the king of Israel said unto his servants. Now, wait a minute. Who was king in the 10 northern tribes at this point? Do you remember? Starts with the letter A, ends with the letter B. I'm not going to give you any more clues. Ahab. In chapter 16 of this book, we're told that he was the worst king that ever ruled up to that point. The worst, all right? The king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, who was one of the better kings, but he was in the southern kingdom, in the kingdom of Judah. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, who'd come up for a visit to Ahab, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art. I'm with you. And in fact, you go a little bit further here. He says, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Here are the words of Jehoshaphat replying to Ahab. So think about this with me just a minute, because when Ahab said, I'm going to go to battle, and I'm going to go and fight against the Syrians, will you go with me? And Jehoshaphat said, I really identify with you. I'm on the same page. My people are on the same page. My horse is on the same page as your horses. I'm with you. I agree with you. And I'm willing to go with you. Now stop and think about the four things we had at a time up here. Because what we did was we identified with some things. And other things we said, I don't want to be with that. I'm not going to go there. But I am with this. Have you ever noticed when you go into a room, say if you go into the Cannes showground and you go to the big pavilion there and there's lots of people there and you walk in, and there's Keturah over there, and she is the only person you know. What do? Because you identify with Keturah, see? And you go over But if there's a fellow there that's never had a bath in 25 years, and he never heard of the word deodorant, and he never combed his hair, and he causes trouble all the time, everywhere he goes, you might say, I'm going to go sit with Keturah. Like this. I'm not going to go sit with whatever his name is. I'm afraid to sit. He might be here tonight. Okay. We identify with someone. Do you do that? Of course you do. You do it all the time. You did it this morning. You did it tonight. You go and sit by people that you identify with. You get on with them. You agree with them. You're on the same page. What a foolish thing it was for Jehoshaphat to say, I am as thou art. But it wasn't just once he said that. Read in your Bibles with me and look, please, in 2 Kings chapter 3. The next book over, 2 Kings chapter 3, Ahab has died by this point, and his son came to the throne, and then he died. And I'm not positive if it was that king's son or another son of Ahab's, but in chapter 3 and verses 6 and 7, it says, let's read from verse 5, but it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel, and King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel, and he went and sent to who? Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go up with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. And then what? I am as thou art. My people is thy people, and my horses is thy horses. Well, what happened when he went up to battle with Ahab? They went out to battle, and Ahab said, if you don't mind, you wear your king's robes, and I'll just dress like an ordinary soldier. I'd be really suspicious of that, wouldn't you? And so when they saw the king of Judah, saw Jehoshaphat wearing the king's robes, all the enemy soldiers said, ha-ha, that's him, let's get him. But it wasn't Ahab, it was Jehoshaphat. And when they chased after Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat cried out and they said, wrong accent, it's not him. So where's he, Ahab? And they couldn't find him because he was dressed like a common soldier. So one of the archers in the army of the Syrians, the Bible says he drew a bow at a venture. He went like this. He just drew the string back and let it go, and the hand of God guided that arrow up through its arc, through its trajectory, and down and down and down and straight between the joints of the harness, the joints of the armor of Ahab, and deep into his body. Shunk! Like that. Ahab struggled to survive the rest of the day and died. Now, Jehoshaphat should have said, that was a dumb thing to do. Going out to battle with this guy was really dumb. I shouldn't have taken his side. I shouldn't have gone. So Ahab's son comes along and says to him, would you like to go fight a war with me? I am as thou art. My people is thy people. My horses is thy horses. Wait a minute. Jehoshaphat, did you sleep on your side and all your marbles ran out? What is wrong with you? He identified with someone he should not have identified with. He should have said, I believe in the Lord God Jehovah, the creator of heaven and earth, the writer, the speaker of the Ten Commandments, the redeemer of Israel. I believe in him, and therefore I have no business hanging around with a man who worships Baal. I am not as he is. My people are not as his people. My horses are not as his horses. That's what he should have done. For some reason he didn't. And so he goes out to battle alongside this king, Jehoram. And what happens? You can read the whole chapter, but you find that they run out of water. And when they run out of water, they say, what are we going to do? We'll all die. Someone said, "Why, Elisha the prophet is here." And so Jehoshaphat says in verse 12 in chapter 3, 2 Kings 3:12, and Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, that's Jehoram, what have I to do with thee? And there's the other phrase, a refusal to identify with someone you do not agree with, there is a saying that goes with that. What have I to do with thee? In other words, you'll read in the commentaries, you'll find that that question is a way of saying, we're not on the same page. You and I don't agree. I'm not sympathetic with what you stand for. I disagree with where you are. Let me give you an example. Some years ago, there was a Lutheran minister came here to the Table Inn to take over the pastorate of the Uniting Church in Ravenshoe. He was from our home state. I heard about him, so I went to see him. I do that sort of thing. And I went to see him. His name was Jed. And I sat down with him in his little apartment there in Ravenshoe by the Uniting Church at that time, and we started talking. And we were not talking more than 2 or 3 minutes, and he started ridiculing the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He started making fun of my Savior. And so I said to him, Jed, the gospel is not negotiable. And the conversation died, and I went my way, and he went his way, and I never saw him again. And I really believe there are times when we have to say to people, what have I to do with thee? Now that's what Jehoshaphat should have said to Ahab and to Jehoram, but it took Elisha to say it. And did you notice there that Elisha said to Jehoram, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father, to the prophets of thy mother. And this king, King Jehoram, appealed to him and he said, if you won't help us, we're going to die. And it shows the mercy of God. Elisha certainly was not in fellowship with him. But what he did was he told him, he said, the Lord will be merciful, the Lord will send water, and he'll keep you from dying of thirst. And he did. But it was because Jehoshaphat, a godly man, a saved man, not making wise decisions, it was because he was there. Now I want you to turn in the New Testament. I want to show you something here. Look in Matthew. Look in Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to give out notes tonight like Brother Floyd does. I'm trying to learn from him. I'm not too old to learn. You can't teach an old dog new tricks, but you can teach an old dog old tricks, can't you? Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. See if you see anything familiar in these two verses. In verse 28, and when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? What do you see familiar there? What have we to do with thee? And so, this is a phrase that we find in the mouth of Elisha because he knew he did not have anything in common with Jehoram, the wicked king of wicked Ahab and the son of wicked Ahab and wicked Jezebel. You find these words in the mouth of Elisha, what have I to do with thee? And then when there are evil spirits who are faced by the Lord Jesus and they know his power, do you know who kicked the angels out of heaven to start with? They knew who he was. They were perfectly familiar with the Son of God. He was the one that cast them out of heaven when they rebelled against God way back in the past. And so they say to him, what have we to do with thee? We're not on the same page. We don't agree. We don't sympathize. We don't hold to the same values. What have we to do with thee? And the Lord Jesus, having such great power, casts these evil spirits out of this man, and they go down into the herd of pigs. You remember that? Then turn to Mark. Mark chapter 1. Now we're hurrying. Mark chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. And here the Lord Jesus, it says to us in the scripture, goes into a synagogue, a place of Jewish worship, of instruction from the law, from the Old Testament. Let's read it from verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. That's a demon, an evil spirit. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee?" It's exactly the opposite of "I am as thou art." Exactly the opposite. "What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Isn't that interesting? Demons know who Jesus is. And they know they're not on the same page. There are actually about 7 or 8 verses in the Gospels where demons say, "What have we to do with thee?" Now in our day, everything has become so ecumenical and so compromised that you'll often find a saved person with his arms wrapped around the most apostate heretic you'd ever meet in your life, saying, "I am as thou art. My church is thy church. My congregation is thy congregation. My denomination is thy denomination." And you see these ecumenical crusades all around the place, and everything is huggy, lovey-dovey, and all the rest of it. But, oh, I'd like to stick an Elijah in the middle of that and see what he said about that. Because I think he would do what Billy Sunday did in the early 1900s when he was preaching. Billy Sunday was a fiery evangelist, converted baseball player, an alcoholic before he was saved. And while he's preaching one day, he decides to tell the truth on somebody sitting on the platform, because there were a bunch of preachers sitting on the platform in their chairs behind him. And he turned around and said, "I understand that one of you men is a modernist, and you deny the creation of the earth in 6 days, and you deny the virgin birth and the blood atonement and the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and you'll die and go to hell." What he was saying? "What have we to do with it?" Well, I'm just saying to you here, dear friends, parents, listen closely here. If you're going to be able to warn your children, as the father does in Proverbs, about his friends that would say, "Come with us, let us lie in wait, we'll take their wealth and we'll share it," and the father says, "Son, don't walk with them, don't go with them. Don't walk there." And then in chapter 2 and in chapter 4. And when you get over to chapter 7, we didn't look at chapter 7 tonight, but can I encourage you to go home and read chapter 7 and to maybe read it to your kids and say to them, notice about the young man, the simple, the foolish young man that walks in the wrong part of town, the red light district, because he knows that there's a woman down there that takes men in and she's immoral with them. And so the father warns his son about that. We should not be surprised, dads, moms, if our kids go down the gurgler, if the devil pulls them down into the septic tank, if we have never warned them, if we've never sat down with them and said to them, "Look out, watch out, you need to identify what is good and say, 'I'm with that,' and you need to identify what is evil and say, 'What have I to do with thee?'" I really believe that one of the most powerful words in the human language is the word "no." Don't you agree? Brother Floyd says, "Sylvia, would you like to tell the folks how she says that? Because you say it better than I do." That's right. And I was thinking she was the one that said it, but it's probably someone else that says, "What part of no don't you understand?" That is a really good question, isn't it? No is a complete sentence. And I believe there are times when dads need to say to their daughters or say to their sons, and moms need to say to their daughters or to their sons, the answer to that is very simply no, and that's a complete sentence. And just stand there on that, because that's what we have in the book of Proverbs. And so what I've done tonight, I'm going to stop here. You've been very gracious and very patient. I'm going to tell you that I've done what Brother Floyd does all the time. I got some notes. And these are notes for parents or people who would like to be parents. Nathan, you're probably too young to want to be a parent, so you just have to let Dad and Mom read this, okay? But here are some notes that I'm going to tell you what's it. It's three pages. The first page has to do with verses on identifying with someone you agree with. And it's important to do that. You agree with someone? Tell them. Let them know that you're on the same page. And then there are verses on refusing to identify with someone you do not agree with. Make it clear. Don't pussyfoot around the bush. Tell them exactly what you're thinking. And so there are verses here, and these are particularly for parents, and we'll put them on the back table there. So think about this. We started off with verses in Proverbs that talk to us there about parents instructing their children as in regard to who to identify with and who not to identify with. And then we got the fellows to stand up here, and we looked at these areas. There was food. Children have not much difficulty identifying with one or the other. And then there were activities and careers and activities and so on down the line, because we're always doing this and we need to do it wisely. We need to do it wisely. We need to think about who is this person, what do they stand for, where are they going, how do they live, what influence do they have, are they on the Lord's side, or are they on the devil's side, are they moving the right direction? And we need to figure out, and we need to teach our children that. I know you parents would all say, that's what I want to do. So look at these verses. See if these will help you to teach your children about identification. You may want to put out on the table four bowls and teach them about you got to eat spinach, even if you don't like it. Or Abby's trying to get Aiden to eat pumpkin, but I don't know if it'll ever happen. His mom had no success. His grandma's had no success. Let's pray. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, the essence of being separated unto the Lord and separated from the world has to do with understanding what it is we're identifying with. Who we can say with a clear conscience and an obedient heart, I am as thou art. And who it is we have to say, what have I to do with thee? Help us to understand what the Scriptures teach. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.